I want us to go to the book of Acts. And I had, you know, I was gone on the 4th. Rob did the Pentecost Sunday and did a great job. And then the next week was last week. We had Mark Francy. And wow, what a great word. What a great word Mark brought. It was a word in time. And so then I had mentioned before I left that I was going to finish talking about the Holy Spirit. And we had just started talking about speaking in tongues and what that's sort of all about. And I just sort of stopped before getting really into that. And I just mentioned that, you know, on today, I was going to finish talking about that. And so what I would just encourage you to do, I sort of set the stage and set the intro up for that by going to the book of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We didn't read all the way through chapter 13. And then we looked at chapter 14 as well. And that's where Paul kind of starts off and he talks about spiritual gifts, gifts of the Holy Spirit. We talked about how that all three persons of the Godhead, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, all gave gifts. And we talked about those gifts. We talked about the gifts of God or what we call foundational gifts. You find those in the book of Romans chapter 12. This is where you see God's stamp in every woman, man, boy, and girl anywhere, whether they know Jesus or not. How many of you know God's stamp is in every human being, right? And you see, that's why you can see non-Christian people that are phenomenal teachers. It's because God gave them that gift. It's God's stamp in their life. You see non-Christians that are phenomenal givers. They're philanthropists. They just love to help people. Where does that come from? Well, we in the Christian world believe that that's from God, right? We see people that can administrate a tornado. You know, they can make a tornado look organized. Where did that come from? That's God's stamp. We then looked, none of these did we go into depth, but we looked then at the gifts of Jesus. Those are found in Ephesians chapter 4. And he gave gifts to men, some evangelists, prophets, some apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. And those are the gifts that Jesus gave. And then you can find in the book of 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14, you can find what's called the gifts of the Holy Spirit. They're gifts that he gave. They're the nine gifts, nine manifestations of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Three of them do something, three say something, three reveal something. And so we touched on that a little bit. And then we taught, when it came to the topic of tongues, we looked in 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14. If you weren't here, I encourage you to go back to whatever the last Sunday was in May. And you could go on our website and you could download that or you could listen to that podcast. And it can give you a little, kind of get you up to snuff and how that... So there's a manifestation of the gift of the Holy Spirit as it can operate within a public assembly, okay? And Paul goes into that. But then Paul also talks about speaking in tongues from maybe, it's a word that you don't find in the Bible, but it's just simply a descriptive word. You could look at it from a devotional perspective. Paul says, I thank my God that I speak in tongues more than you all. However, Paul said something in 1 Corinthians 12, 13, 14. He said, you know, within the church, I would rather speak five words in a known tongue than thousands of words in an unknown tongue, right? Well, that only makes sense because if I were to stand up here and just speak in tongues, you know, on my own, it wouldn't benefit you at all, right? In fact, it would probably weird you out, right? Rightly so. So Paul then is that seems to set the boundaries for the usage of tongues in a public assembly, a corporate gathering of people. But then one would need to ask the question then, so where would Paul say, I thank God that I speak with tongues more than you all? And then he says, forbid not to speak in tongues. Where would that come into play? Well, obviously, it seems like that would come into play maybe in what we would refer to as your prayer life or a devotional life. That because Paul says that speaking in tongues does what? It builds you up. Edify. The word in Greek means to build. So it builds you up. Jude verse 20 says that, you know, building yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. So there's a devotional / prayer dimension of tongues that believers have the privilege of entering into every day of the year. Amen? We were very clear about something that in some Pentecostal circles, it's taught that to be saved, you have to speak in other tongues. We don't teach that. I can't see that from Scripture. I can't see from Scripture that you have to speak in tongues to be born again. And what would base that, what would we base that on? Scripture, Romans, multiple scriptures, right? If you call on the name of the Lord, you'll be. Doesn't say if you call on the name of the Lord and speak in tongues, right? It says if you call on the name of the Lord, if you believe with your heart, confess with your mouth Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father, blah, 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 right? So we don't teach you need to be, that you have to speak in tongues to be born again. Amen? Is everybody clear on that? You don't have to. So another question is, so is tongues for everybody? Obviously, the everybody would be Christians, right? Is tongues for every Christian, or is it just for a select few? That's a great question. The question you have to ask to maybe answer that question is, what usage are you talking about? If you're talking about in a public assembly where a message of tongues was given, obviously, Scripture says very clearly, that's as the Spirit wills. Are you with me? And so you know, maybe in a public assembly, one could say in terms of the usage of it in a public assembly, that's not for everybody to bring forth a message in tongues. And in a public assembly, what needs to accompany a message of tongues? Interpretation. And if it's not that way, it's simply out of order. Right? One time, only one time have I ever had to address that in 29 years. Thank God, because it was awkward. It was really awkward, right? It's one of those quiet, holy moments. This message of tongues just bursts forth. Everybody's sitting there going, and? So guess what? It was out of order. Amen? Does that mean the world, you know, came to an end? No. How many of you know we know in part? We're humans. We make mistakes. But is tongues available for every believer on a devotional prayer level? I say yes. Is it necessary for you to be saved and go to heaven? No. I just look at it this way, because then the next question would be, because I'm reiterating a conversation I've had probably a couple hundred times in the last 29 years of being here. So then why do I need it? If I don't need it to be saved, why would I even want it? My answer is this. If God has anything that He's made available, I want it. Amen? I just want everything that He has available. Will I experience everything that He has available? No, because I'm finite, He's infinite, and I can't search out all the riches of God. But while I'm here on this earth, I want to search out and I want to experience everything I can. How about you? And so from there, Acts chapter 2, verse 4, very familiar portion of Scripture. On the day of Pentecost, they were in one accord, right? And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were in one accord in the upper room. And they began, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Holy Spirit gave them utterance. Okay, so then what you have to look at is, okay, so that happened, that experience, that gift, one could even refer to it as maybe a charism, that was given, the Holy Spirit was given. Peter stood up and addressed all of the questions that were present at the time. They were thinking that they were maybe drunk with wine, or maybe they kind of gone bonkers or wacko or whatever. And Peter addresses that, which was fulfillment of which scripture in the Old Testament? In the book of Joel, chapter 2 and verse 28, Peter stood up and said, this scripture has now been fulfilled in your ears, that in the last days he would pour out his Spirit upon all flesh. So from there, what's interesting is where you find other, if I could say it this way, other experiences of where people would be referred to that they were filled with the Holy Spirit. You find that in the book of Acts. In fact, if you turn to the first chapter of the book of Acts, probably at the top of your Bible, it says the Acts of the, what does it say? It says the Acts of the Apostles. Some translations even add Acts of the Holy Spirit. All right? So what you see is you see this church age. Jesus ascended up on high, verse 8 of chapter 1, he says, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you. You shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem and Judea and to Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. So Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, Jesus talks about to the disciples before he ascended on high, he talked about one of the purposes of the Holy Spirit is that you will receive power. And certainly it's a common testimony of many people that have received the baptism of the Holy Spirit and have been able to pray in tongues. One of the common testimonies is that there's a power for living that they hadn't experienced before. Right? Which only stands to reason. Jesus said that you shall receive power. What's that power for? I just look at it this way. That power's for whatever. If it's just for living, cool. If it's just to get through, cool. If it's whatever it may be, there's many times that you can find testimonials of just tons of people that do pray in tongues. You'll just find that I've found this my own self experientially, that Jude verse 20, building yourself up on your most holy faith, that is something that has become precious to me over my 57 years. I received my prayer language when I was 7 years old. And every day of my life since 1967, I've prayed in tongues every day of my life. I wouldn't know what it would be like going through life not praying in tongues. Does that make me special? No, not at all. Does it make me special? What has it done for me? I've had a lot of people ask me, well, what has it really done for you? That's a good question because it's become just part of my life from seven. Now, if you were to ask my wife, what has it done for her? In fact, if you want to talk to anybody about speaking in tongues, don't talk to me, talk to her. I'll talk to you. But my experience for you is an experience that I don't know what it's like to not. Right? I mean, I guess I do before I was seven. But I don't have tons of memories, you know what I mean? But she does. She received her prayer language when she was older in life. And she was 18. That's older. That's older than seven. And so what she can give testimony to, she can give testimony of being a, she's a very committed Christian her whole life. But she can give you a whole different testimony than I can of being a Christian up to your, you know, until she was 18. And the difference in just what took place to her own personal life. Things like reading scripture. Scripture, she talks about so much that scripture came alive to her. That would only make sense, right? If you received a gift that the Holy Spirit gave and you use that prayer language devotionally and things like that, how many of you know that you get to know God in a kind of a different way? Does that make sense? And how many of you know he's the teacher of scripture? He's the one that anointed holy men and women of God that wrote down scripture. And so it would only make sense that for her, the word became more alive. She would read same portions of scripture and see it in a different light. That only stands to reason because one of the ministries of the Holy Spirit was that what? He was the revealer of truth and he was a teacher, right? So anyhow, then if you just go to the book of Acts, go to the book of Acts chapter 10, if you wouldn't mind. I'm going to just do it here on my computer. Acts chapter 10. Let me get down to the right chapter. So what's interesting is when you then go through the book of Acts, and I would encourage you to do this on your own. If you have a search engine, or if you have an old school concordance that you can go to that's, you know, actually ink on pages. Do you remember that? Go to your concordance and just look up the words, Holy Spirit, or type it in your search engine, Holy Spirit. Narrow your search engine to the book of Acts, and you're going to find that Holy Spirit is talked about a lot in the book of Acts. And what you'll find is if you'll just go to every one of those scriptures, I don't have time to do it today, but if you'll go to every one of those scriptures and just read about whatever reference it says about the Holy Spirit, and here's what you're going to find. You're going to find that the early church, so we refer to them as the early church, so this thing called the Christian church is in its infancy. Jesus ascended up on high. He's left these apostles, these 120 in the upper room. They were filled with the Holy Spirit at his direction and at his advice, right? Now, how many of you know not all of the believers were there? There could have been at least 500. Scripture is very clear. There could have been at least 500. But only 120 went further. Right? Does that mean that the other 380 didn't love God or didn't believe? Probably not. They were followers of Jesus. But 120 made it to the upper room. So not all of them took his advice. And he even gave them a promise. He said, I want you to go to the upper room. I want you to tarry there until the Holy Spirit comes. And for whatever reason, 380 of them went, I got other things to do. You know, I appreciate Pastor Mark Francie's message last week. You know, maybe their priority or their proximity or their position just wasn't in a spot that they thought it was necessary to do that. I don't need to do that. There's a lot of Christians and that just don't feel like that the Holy Spirit's extra whatever in terms of being able to speak in tongues isn't really all that important or whatever. And it's okay for just me. I just want all that God has for me. If it's available for me and I can experience it now, I want to go for it. Amen. So they were filled with the Holy Spirit, began to speak with tongues. And then as you watch them, as you watch this thing called the church sprout and grow, what you're going to find is that you're going to find there's one or two. I was trying to look at it last night and I just fell asleep. But there's only one or two instances when you hear when you read in Scripture, it says, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. It'll either then say, and they spoke with tongues. They were filled with the Holy Spirit and they spoke with tongues. Or it says, they were filled with the Holy Spirit and they heard them. Right? So that's where, within the charismatic world and in some Pentecostal circles as well, that's where that they would refer to the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. It was a point of debate for Drett and I when we first met. She didn't come from a charismatic tradition. And so, you know, it wasn't a point of argument because we were in love. But the question for her was, can you be filled with the Holy Spirit and not speak with other tongues? That's a good question, right? And I used to answer that question a certain way. I don't answer it that way anymore. Because what I've just really realized is that anytime I try to put God in a box, God could get out of that box, right? So my answer today would be, just read what Scripture talks about. And I'm certainly not going to look at somebody that's convinced they're filled with the Holy Spirit. Of course, how do you define that? But anyhow, filled with the Holy Spirit. And I don't need to speak, whatever. I'm certainly not going to get in a place of judgment on that. Amen. God's far bigger than I am, and I'm just not going to go there, right? But I can say that in the book of Acts, when it talks about that, it uses those things for the most part together. So I'm just trying to get here. Where did I tell you to go? I'm in Acts chapter 10, right? So Acts chapter 10, remember, Peter went over to Cornelius' house. Okay, go to verse 44, Acts chapter 10. Okay, so give a little background of Peter. Peter was a Jew, correct? Yes, Peter was a Jew. Okay. Peter was the one that disagreed with the Apostle Paul, right, about circumcision. In fact, they had a falling out, a pretty big falling out. Paul went and rebuked Peter because Peter was teaching to Christians after Jesus ascended on high, the circumcision needed to be a part of your salvation. So guess what? The Holy Spirit got involved. Who's the revealer of truth? And the Holy Spirit gave Peter a vision. Do you remember what that vision was? Right? A blanket came down, out of heaven with animals that were ceremonially, according to Jewish tradition, unclean, right? Peter looked at him, and as any good Jew would do, he'd go, "Oh, that's unclean." Because remember, in the vision, he was told to rise and kill one and eat. And Peter goes, I ain't doing that. That's unclean. And he was rebuked by the Lord. What did the Lord tell him? He said, "How dare you call unclean whatever I've created?" And so then, what that was, is that was to try to get Peter out of this box that, you know, salvation included not only this, but it included that and included that and included that. Oh, by the way, you need to be circumcised. And Paul steps in and whatever and said, you know, that's not part of it. But listen, so Peter was speaking to Cornelius, right? Peter went to Cornelius' house, gave a promise in scripture that you and your household will be saved. But anyhow, verse 44, while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word. And those of the circumcision, who would that be referring to? Jews, who believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter. So in other words, Peter had this group of people that were Jews, that they were listening to what he said, because Peter was a good Jew, right? And they were just absolutely blown away that the Holy Spirit, the gift of the Holy Spirit, notice it says the gift of the Holy Spirit, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. So it just blew their theology clear over. It absolutely just knocked over a sacred cow. And the sacred cow was, is that we're the special, we're the whatever, and da-da-da, and the Gentiles, whatever, okay, right? And so, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. In other words, we could look at it this way and say, they didn't know or what the giveaway was that the Holy Spirit fell upon them. The giveaway was as they heard them speak with other tongues. Okay? So then if you just go to the next chapter. So anyhow, let's just finish that. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then Peter answered, can anyone forbid water that these should not baptize who've received the Holy Spirit just as we have? And so he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then they asked him to stay a few days. Okay, now the apostles and brethren who in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also received the word of God, when they came up to Peterson, those of the circumcision contended with him. You went into uncircumcised men and ate with them. Isn't it just amazing? This is just a side note. Isn't it amazing how we can see God move and then still put what he does in a human context? Right? So then, if you go on, chapter 11 is then when Peter gets, actually I said it was before, I was wrong. Peter has the vision in chapter 11, right? With God comes, says, what God has cleansed, you must not call common. Okay, so then, verse 15 of chapter 11. As I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell on them as upon us at the beginning. Now, why is that important, as upon us at the beginning? Why is that important? Because it tells you that the same thing, when the Holy Spirit fell on these ones that he was speaking to, the same thing that happened at the beginning. At the beginning of what? Not at the beginning when they believed in Jesus, but at the beginning when the Holy Spirit fell upon them. So that's really an important phrase. And when I've showed that to some people that maybe came out of a tradition that felt like tongues were no longer for today or that it wasn't valid or whatever it may be, when they saw that and we looked at that, I'll never forget years ago, they sat right where Pastor Jim and Doris are sitting. They sat right there. And we were small then. And, you know, you notice that somebody's a visitor. And so they were sitting there, and I was speaking about the Holy Spirit. And this lady was just getting mad. Her face was flushed. She was red. She just, every little bit, she'd just shake her head and just look at her husband. And they really wanted to just get up and leave. But they were embarrassed to. So at the end, she made a beeline towards me. I mean, and she proceeded to rip into me and just tell me how wrong I was about tongues and whatever. And I says, could we just have a discussion? Well, fine, but you're wrong. It's like, okay. Well, let me just tell you how wrong I am from Scripture. So we sat down and I just took her through some of these things. And this was one of the scriptures that just hit her for some reason. It just hit her right between the eyes. And then all of a sudden, her anger, her frustration, her red face turned to tears. And she said, you know, I grew up in a tradition, and I won't name the tradition. I grew up in a tradition that I was told it wasn't for today. And I was told that anybody that does is of the devil. And she goes, I remember when I was a young girl, I asked my pastor about this, and my pastor told me to just not read in the book of Acts. He just said, it's far above your head anyhow. And so then she just started crying. She said, you know, I've missed out on something my whole life, haven't I? I said, well, ma'am, that's only something you can determine. But would you like the Holy Spirit? Would you like to pray in tongues? And she said, yes. So I called Dorette and I said, there you go. Prayed with her. And I'll tell you what, she just instantly, and talking about some mentor hurdles that she had to get over. When you grew up your whole life, and she was an older person, they were retired, they were just traveling through. The mental hurdles she had to jump over, if you were told your whole life, it's not for today, it's not for you, you don't need it, And you know what? Dorette laid hands on her, and she just instantly began to start speaking in tongues. And just, they stayed, they were on their way. We used to have Sunday night service that night, and she said, we're staying. We're going to come to church tonight. And then when she, it was interesting, we hugged before she left. She said, boy, am I going to give my pastor a what for? And I said, oh. I said, ma'am, don't do that. I said, please don't go home and tear into your pastor. Because you know what? Just don't tear into your pastor. That's not going to help anything. Amen. So there we could go on and on. Another portion of scripture, it talks about they come to preach the word in the book of Acts, and they said, have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? So it's very clear, since you believed. So that tells me a couple things. A, that also reinforces you don't need to speak in tongues to be a Christian. Right? Already believers. Have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? You're already a believer. And you know what they answered? I mean, you just think about time. They go, we didn't even know there was such a thing. Can you imagine that? That the gospel in its that infancy, you know, hasn't spread that far yet. They go, we haven't even heard of the Holy Spirit. So they taught them about the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says they laid hands on them. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues. So that's why in some charismatic traditions, some people are pretty dogmatic on it, that in some charismatic, some Pentecostal traditions, they'll say point blank, you're not filled unless you speak in other tongues. I just am not going to be that dogmatic, because I just think, to me, that's maybe putting God in a box. But with the topic of speaking in tongues, I can say this, I believe this. I've been asked this. I've had people look at me and get real serious and go, now you don't believe it's for everybody, do you? My answer is yes, I do. I believe that every Christian that loves Jesus Christ can receive their prayer language and speak in other tongues. It's up to the person, though. I mean, if you know, God's not going to force it on anybody, right? So with that, you know, there's a lot of, sometimes there's a lot of gymnastics that a person in their brain goes through. Maybe teaching of, I heard this was of the devil. There's whole Christian traditions that teach point blank that it's of, that speaking in tongues is of the devil. Well, man, I don't want to be a part of that. Do you? I don't want to. So I can understand some of this. I wanted to stay away from that because I'm not sure if it is or not, right? We just simply take our stance, at least from what we see from Scripture. And I don't see anywhere where tongues has ceased. Right? Will we need it in heaven? No. But you know what? We're not in heaven. And Jesus hasn't come back again yet. So do we need it now? That's, you know, I don't know that the word, I need the Holy Spirit now. Amen. I'm so thankful. So what does it do for you, Pastor? Oh, man. What does it do for you, Pastor? Well, you know what? Being able to pray in the Spirit unlocks for me a whole other tool chest that I would not otherwise have available to me for my prayer life. Because there's time that I'm just at my wit's end. Have you ever been there before? I'm just at my wit's end of what to do. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do in many different things. And you know what I'll do? I'll just begin to pray in the Spirit. Why? Paul tells us what it does. He says we're speaking to God. Right? Romans chapter 8 talks about the Holy Spirit making intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. A lot of people read that and go, so that's not talking about tongues. Okay. It doesn't say tongues right there, but if you look in the original language, it says it cannot be uttered in words of articulate speech. So there's just times that I'll get a phone call. I get this much of the time. Pastor, I'm on my way to the emergency room. Pray. Okay, my prayer could be done in about 10 seconds. God help him. Or I can begin to pray in the Spirit and just know that, you know what? He can pray through me more specifically than I could ever pray on my own. Amen. So with that, we're kind of at the end. I just feel like this has been a Reader's Digest version. Is that too quick? Because we have a video at the end that we want to show relating to Father's Day. So let me just say this. Dorette, raise your hand. Anybody have any questions? Ask her. She really is. What's just crazy? This is just between me and her. So I was raised in charismatic, received my prayer language when I was 7. I've prayed in tongues every day of my life since I was 7. I've prayed for a lot of people to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit and speak in tongues. I'll pray for them and look at them and they're just staring at me. I taught her the scriptural basis of why, you know, Isaiah talks about with stammering lips and whatever in an unknown tongue, God will speak to his people. I taught her all the theology. And I pray for people and they just look at me like I'm an idiot. So I just figure, you know, why fight an uphill battle? I'll just let Dorette pray for him. And I'll be happy to pray for you. That hasn't happened with everybody. But Dorette can just explain it to people in a way that, I don't know, hopefully my explanation makes sense. But really and truly, at the end of service or any time, talk to her. You know, the last time I spoke, the last Sunday in May, we don't have tons of time, babe.
I just wanted to do one thing.
Okay, all right, cool.
It's the natural part that most people don't understand, how the words come to your heart or your mind, that it's going to be using your own lips and your own tongue. Those kind of things are the thing that most people don't understand, and it's really not hard at all. It's easy.
I stand amazed. I really do. I stand amazed at the Lord, but when I watch her, I'll sometimes stand beside her, and she'll talk to people, and before they get their eyes closed, they're speaking in tongues, and I just sit there and go, yeah, so really, we'd love any of us staff, any of our board members, any of our ushers, if you're interested in receiving your prayer language, we'd love to pray with you. But in closing, we're going to just watch a video and hope it blesses you.